Hello.
It's
so have you not been
echo,
able to hear me?
But we can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Have you not been able to hear me before?
No.
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Okay, we've had a bit of a technical hitch, and it's all sorted out. A bunch of people just dropped off the call, and they've all come back on now, so I'm going to put everyone on mute, and I'll start again. That's good. So I'm assuming you can all hear me now. I've realized what was wrong before. If you can't hear me, press 1 on your phone. But I'm pretty sure you all can hear me now. It's really funny because what I was just saying is my introductory remarks to the call was about this idea of planning before we public speak and the limitations and dangers of doing too much planning. One of those being that when we spend all our energy planning what we're going to do, something happens during the call, we're not in a position to respond because we're so caught up in our plan and in our head. And I was just saying that I didn't realize you guys couldn't hear me, but I was saying that this morning I had about 90 minutes. I woke up about an hour and a half before the call, and in the past I would have used that hour and a half to plan in great detail what we're going to do today. I would have spent the whole 90 minutes doing that. But what I do now and what I did this morning, what I always do, is I probably spent a third of that time thinking about what we're going to do and coming up with some plans. But the other two-thirds of the time I spent rolling around on the floor, getting really connected to my body, really free so that I feel really effortless and easy and comfortable in my own skin. And then I did a little meditation. I got really clear on my intention for the call. I did some spiritual activities I do to bring my higher self down into me while I'm speaking. And then I quietly sat and did a very sketchy plan, knowing fully well that things will happen during the call which will require me to be able to respond, so that if I get too attached to my plan, I won't be available for that. And then, of course, what happens is I spend the first 5 minutes talking and no one can hear me, and now I've had to start again. And if I was very attached to my plan at this point, I would already be stressed because now I'm 10 minutes late. How am I going to fit in everything I've planned? And I'm sure many of you can relate to that feeling. I mean, most of my life when I was speaking, I was always so worried about the time. Oh my God, I'm running late, I'm not going to fit it all in, because I was very attached to my plan that I had in my head. And what we're going to be talking about later in the call today is about speaking in a different way, where we get very clear on our intention, and then the content will morph and fit and shrink and stretch according to the intention and however much time we happen to have. So no matter if you all fall off the call for the next hour and I suddenly only have 60 minutes instead of 120 minutes, I can still fulfill my intention, because that's what I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to fulfill my intention rather than speaking to carry out a specific prearranged plan which would have taken a certain length of time. So it's kind of cool in a way that you couldn't hear me for the first few minutes, because it's given me a chance to demonstrate this in action to you. And it's one of the things we're going to be looking at today, so it's very interesting. So I just want to start by just doing a little bit of centering meditation to bring us all into our hearts just before we start, because we're going to be doing a process in a minute, putting you into some small groups and sharing with each other. And I really want us to be in a place where not only are we speaking from our heart, but more importantly, we're listening from our heart. Because as we saw last week, when we can really slow down and really drop into our heart and listen to each other from our heart, it actually makes a big difference to what we hear. But it also makes a big difference to how the other person speaks, because when someone speaks and they can feel they're really being listened to without judgment, without criticism, but also without too much mental engagement, because when we listen to someone with our mind, we're constantly thinking, oh, that's interesting, yeah, that's true. Oh, I remember once when that happened to me, yeah, oh gosh, I wouldn't say it like that, I would say it differently, oh, I don't agree with her at all. And that's all the speed at which our minds are working when we're listening with our head. But when we drop into our heart and we listen, usually what we feel is the feelings coming towards us. Is this person connected to themselves? Are they full of passion? Do you sense a sadness underlying what they're saying? And we also feel, is this truth? Is this not truth? It's pretty simple. It becomes very simple when we're listening from our heart. Is this truth? Is this not truth? As opposed to all the mental chatter of, oh, yes, I remember an example of this, and no, that's not true because blah, 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 blah. And I'm someone who spent most of my life listening from my head, and I was always planning what I was going to say in response before the other person had even finished. So they'd be halfway through a sentence and I'd be either interrupting, or in my head I would have been rehearsing what I was going to say when they finished, which meant I wasn't actually listening to them. I wasn't actually present. And that's been one of my biggest things I've had to overcome. And part of me just wants to apologize to everyone I was ever in a conversation with for the first 30 years of my life. But I know it was an important learning curve. And so today we're going to be listening to each other, not from our head, but from our heart, which is a very powerful way to listen. So I'm just going to do a small meditation just for a minute, very short. So I'm going to ask you all to pop your pens and papers down, if you have them, and just find somewhere comfortable to sit. And just closing your eyes. Closing your eyes. And take a nice deep breath in. And then a breath out. And then another breath in. And another breath out. And now bring your attention down into your heart, into that space in the middle of your chest. And just notice, what do you sense there? What do you feel? Some of you might see something, an object or a presence, a ball of light or a flower. There's lots of possibilities of what you see. You might see something completely different. Some of you might just have a physical kinesthetic feeling, maybe of a pulsing or a glowing in that area. Some of you might hear a sound, a tingling or a buzzing. Some of you might just have a knowing that you've dropped into your heart. You don't necessarily see or hear or feel anything, but you just know that you've dropped into that place deep within yourself, which is the center of yourself energetically. It's not your literal beating physical heart, it's the center of your energetic heart. And just imagine that someone was sitting in front of you, someone who you really, really love and feel really safe and happy with and full of joy whenever you see them. And if you don't have anyone like that, imagine someone like that, or someone from your past or a close friend. And just imagine that they're sitting in front of you. And as they speak, imagine that their words are just coming in, floating gently into that space in your heart, and you're just feeling them as they land there. Some of you might feel like you sort of taste the words, you taste the taste or the flavor of them. Some of you might feel that you smell the words. Some of you might feel that you just hear the words like as if they're like the ocean lapping against the shore, or the sound of a really pleasant sound that you like, the sound of a wave or the sound of the wind in the trees. Something very gentle just arriving into your space, very gently. Some of you might see the words floating like feathers floating on the wind, just wafting in. Whatever it is that helps you to imagine the words just floating or wafting into that space. Just kind of hear them, taste them, sense them, feel them. And then the words drift back out again. So it's a very different way of being open to receive someone's words. And now I want you to imagine that the words come from that person straight up to your head. And notice how you would respond to them as they enter the space of your head energetically. They come in and immediately there's a bit of activity, a bit of interpreting. You know, you're listening, you're tasting, you're sensing, but it's a bit faster. There's a bit of analysis. There's a bit of interaction. There's a bit more action. It's not as receptive. It's much more active. And that's good. There are plenty of times where we need that. But I just want you to feel the difference between the two ways of experiencing these words. We're going through this quite fast because I just want to give you a very small entry point of sensing this, because we're going to be practicing it. And then come back to the other way of listening. Imagine that person speaking and just feel their words just float into your heart space. You register them, you feel them, you taste them, you smell them, you sense the words. They just land in your space for you to feel. It's a much more open, receptive process. And we need to know how to do both. And then let that go, let everything fall away, and just come back to your body, come back to your breathing. And once again, take a nice breath in, and then a breath out. And just slowly opening your eyes, letting the light come back in. Wiggling your fingers, wiggling your toes. And coming back into the room. So welcome everybody. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that and that you're feeling a little bit different than when you first joined the call. I'm just going to see if anyone has anything they want to share. We might just take one or two shares just after that meditation if there's anything interesting or new that you experienced. So if there's anything you would like to share about that, just press one on your phone and I'll see your hand go up and then I'll give you the microphone. Suzanne? Yep, I'll give you the microphone. Hello, Suzanne.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed the meditation, thank you. And the difference that was quite pronounced when I listened with my heart, it felt like my body, so the words were entering, and it felt like a petal was opening and the petals were vibrating whatever the person said. And then on the contrast, when this person talked to my, or I was listening to my head, with my head, my head immediately started, is that what it means, or what else could it be, and was looking for all the memories, so very busy.
Mm. Fantastic, yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it, how we have two totally different places within us from which we can listen, and we tend to use one more than the other. Thank you very much for sharing that, Suzanne, it's beautiful. The other person will just take one more share, which will be from Alice. She's got her hand up, so here's the mic, Alice. Oh, here it is.
Yes, Tani, I had an interesting experience. I'm really glad you did that because when you suggested us listening with our hearts to each other, I actually felt a contraction at that point and I was noticing it. And I remember it from last time. And those questions about, you know, is this the truth or not the truth and how is this person feeling, I actually felt like I didn't want people doing it that way with me. It was as if they were judging me, am I in my heart or not? And I actually felt a contraction around that. Mm. And I hadn't ever recognized that before, so it was very valuable. And then I went into the exercise you did, and I imagined my granddaughter, and imagining her words coming to my heart was just absolutely delightful. And then when I thought of them coming to my head, I found myself thinking, yeah, what does she mean and what should I say that's valuable to her and all this talk about what I would say going on, you know. But the feeling of just her words coming to my heart was so exquisite, and I realised that that was very different from what I was imagining with my head that you meant when you were describing listening with your heart earlier.
Yeah, beautiful. Great. So it's interesting, isn't it, how we have ideas and concepts about things and that's us coming at it from our head, and when we actually experience it, we realize it's not that at all. And that's so true of so many things in our lives. So I'm so glad you had that experience. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Alice. So I'm going to come back to talking about this a little bit later in the call, but I just want to start by talking about the homework that some of you did this week, because I've had emails from a lot of you, and they were such powerful emails, I really want to acknowledge them. And it's okay for those of you who haven't done the homework yet, that's all right, it's not a big deal, but I would like you to do it at some point, hopefully in the next week, because it's a really powerful process, and it will really make a difference to the rest of this course if you've done it. In a moment, I'm going to break you up into small groups, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. And it's okay even if you didn't do it, because I'll give you something that you can do in that time. But I just wanted to share that people have been sending me the things that they're excited about speaking, the things that they're challenged about speaking, and the things that they're scared about speaking. And even though you all wrote me very different emails with very different content, there were a lot of commonalities, particularly in the fears and the challenges. And I just wanted to share and talk about a couple of them. am well aware that we then did a process during the week which was about uncovering the beliefs that underlie a lot of those fears and challenges, and we're going to talk about that in our small groups. But before we get to the underlying beliefs, I just want to address a few of these common fears and challenges that you guys have been writing about, and just how we would think about those from the perspective of speaking with feminine power. So the first one that was talked about a lot, and is something we're definitely going to address in this course, a few people mentioned one of their fears is when they speak that they're going to go into their head and they're going to lose connection with their body, they're going to lose connection with their heart, they're going to lose connection with their intuition, and they're going to lose connection with their higher self. And that is a really common fear. It's also just a very common thing that happens, and what excites me is that some of you are addressing that as a challenge and a fear, which means that you know that there's another possibility. Most people don't even know there's another possibility. Their only experience is ever of having spoken from their head. And so they don't even know that they could speak in their body, connected to their heart, connected to their intuition. So they don't even think of it as a fear or a challenge. So firstly, I just thought that was incredibly positive that so many of you even mentioned that as something that was a challenge, because it means you're aware of it. Once you're aware of something, it's much easier to change it. And a lot of what we're going to be doing in this course, including what we did last week with the centering practices and these kinds of meditations and the body work we're going to be doing and the work we're going to do in the final few weeks about connecting to the heart, connecting to our audience, connecting to our intuition will really help with this. So you're definitely in the right course, because that's why this is called Whole Woman Speaking, and it's all about how to connect all these things while we speak. So I just think that's a wonderful thing that you guys are starting to notice that as something that you want to change, because as you have more and more experiences of speaking from your heart, speaking from your intuition, from your higher guidance, you'll find that you can be thrown into any situation and just speak, because you don't need to have planned very much, because you're not coming from your head. And it just gives you so much confidence. So I was excited about that one. The second one is almost related to this, which is this. I heard this from a few people's emails, a fear of not remembering what to say. A fear that, you know, you'll stand up in front of people and you just forget everything. And there was a sort of a fear that went along that for other people, a similar fear but in different words, which was about being ill-prepared. So a few people wrote, I'm very confident about speaking when I'm prepared, but I'm not confident when I'm ill-prepared. And it's kind of speaking to the same thing. When we're expecting ourselves to speak from our head and to speak in our masculine, then a common fear will be the fear of not being prepared or the fear of not remembering what we prepared, because we think that speaking means having a plan that we've practiced and rehearsed and prepared and then standing up and somehow miraculously remembering it. Now, there are some people who have a particularly photographic memory and are very good at that. And there are some people who are very good at writing notes, very clear notes that they can hold in their hand while they speak that jog their memory. But the problem with speaking from notes and speaking from memory is that it takes you out of the present. And it means you can't respond to what comes up from your audience. It means you can't respond to what you're picking up from your audience, even if they're not putting their hands up. It means you can't respond to the wisdom that's coming through in that moment from your higher self, which may be much better stuff than the stuff you prepared. And what's really interesting is I teach a monthly Feldenkrais workshop, and I always do a little 10 or 20 minute speech at the beginning of it about whatever the topic is that day. And I used to always get up in the morning, and as I had my shower, I would plan what I was going to say, and I would practice this speech in the shower, and I would give the most brilliant 20 minute speech in the shower. It was perfect. Beginning, had a middle, it had an end, it was funny, it had examples, it was perfect. Then I'd be in the car trying to remember the speech because it was so good, trying to remember it, can't really remember it, trying to lock it into my head. Okay, first I said this, then I said this, okay, then I've got to remember I have to say that, and then I've got to remember I have to say that. Then I would stand up in front of everyone and I'd spend most of my energy trying to remember what I said in the car and through that what I said in the shower. And I was so disconnected from my audience because most of my energy was my head scrambling around. Like, what am I going to say? Oh, shit, what was next? What was next? That's right, that's right. It was about the neck. And the irony is, when I spoke in the shower and gave the perfect speech, I wasn't using notes. I hadn't planned it. That was the time when I just sat there connected to my intention and spoke from my heart out loud in the shower, and it came out perfectly. And one day I went, hang on, if it always comes out perfectly the first time and it's only when I try and remember it that I keep messing it up, why don't I just trust that it will come out perfectly the first time in front of my audience? And it was a real risk because I thought, oh, what if it doesn't? And one day I tried it. I banned myself from practicing the speech in the shower. I banned myself from practicing the speech in the car. All I thought about was what's the main three things I want to cover. That's it. And I stood up and I gave a perfect speech. And that really showed me that actually it's just about trust. There is no other issue here. The main issue is trust. When we trust that when we open our mouth, the words that we need are going to come out, then they will. And all the planning and preparing is just saying to ourselves, I don't trust you. I don't trust that when the time comes, you're going to know what to say. You're going to have enough connection to yourself to speak. You're going to be tuned in enough to your audience to speak. So because I don't trust you, I'm going to rattle these notes and prepare stuff for you. It's a kind of we're saying to ourselves when we do really, really detailed planning, I don't trust you. Tani, I don't trust you is what I'm saying to myself. And now this is something that's just coming to me as I'm speaking now. I had not planned to say any of this. The only thing I've written down on my page is discuss fears and challenges people had. I didn't even list what they were. So when you are in a space of trust and you just start to talk, the amazing insights that come out are quite astounding. Whereas if you sit there in advance and try and plan what you're going to say, you might not think of a lot of it because a lot of the insights are going to come out when you're in front of that actual audience because it's the insights that are necessary for that audience that needs to come out, not the ones you plan for a fictional audience who may or may not turn up. So I just wanted to address that whole fear around not remembering what to say and being ill-prepared. That's not really the point because, yes, if you were trying to speak from a masculine place with everything planned from your head, then that would be a big fear. That would be a justifiable fear because the masculine way of speaking requires lots of planning and it is a challenge for people who don't have a great memory or aren't good at making clear notes. But if you come from a place of speaking from feminine power where you're connected to your body, you're connected to your heart, you're connected to your audience, you're connected to your intuition, then you don't have to worry about any of that because you're not expecting yourself to have planned it, you're not expecting yourself to have perfect notes, and you're not expecting yourself to have a photographic memory. What you are expecting is that you have a very clear intention about what you're wanting to share with your audience and how you want them to feel and the impact it's going to have on them, and that is what's going to inform what comes out of your mouth. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the call. So another really big challenge that a lot of people identified when they emailed me was a fear of not being good enough or a fear of sounding stupid. And that is one of the ones that really is coming from the underlying beliefs. And so what we're going to do now is break you into small groups. And what I want you to talk about is those of you who did the homework, so for those of you who didn't do it, the process was setting out your fears and challenges about speaking and then looking at what was underneath those. What were the underlying beliefs that were underneath those? And I specified that I wanted people to write down beliefs that started with the word I or the word my. So I'm not good enough or I'm stupid or my stuff is not interesting. And people came up with those beliefs and then we did a very powerful process to shift those beliefs, both cognitively and then energetically. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to split you into groups and I'll try and put people together who've done the homework and people who haven't done it in other groups so that those of you who've done the homework can talk with each other about what the beliefs were you identified and what things shifted for you, how you found that process, both the Byron Katie part of it and the energy part of it, you know, how you found it, what you learned about yourself, what shifted for you. And those of you who are in the groups who haven't done the homework, that's okay. I want you to use this time to identify for yourself what are your fears and challenges around speaking and to just take a few minutes to really feel into what might be some of the beliefs, the core beliefs that underlie that. There'll be beliefs that start with the word I or the word my. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a minute each to say hello and just identify who's in your groups. We've got groups of three and one group of four. And just take that minute to just say your names, work out who's going to speak first, and then I'll give you the next instruction. Okay, everybody. As I said, most of you are in groups of people in the same situation. Some of you aren't, so that's okay. So whoever's going first, if you're someone who did the homework, you're going to have 4 minutes to just share with the others how you found the experience. If you're someone who hasn't done the homework yet, that's okay. I want you to use this 4 minutes to just talk about maybe what your fears and challenges are around speaking, and if you can start to identify some of the underlying beliefs that you think might be under those. It's nice to do that with in a supportive space where you're just being listened to from the heart and you're just being witnessed from the heart. And it will help you when you then go and do the homework during the week to have had this already figured out and really felt this through. It will make the process much quicker for you when you do it. And the people listening are really going to encourage you to listen from your heart without judgment, just allowing the words, practice what we did in the meditation, allowing the words to just drift in. And at the very end of the whole thing, I'll give you some time to have feedback with each other. But for now, actually, no, I'll give you a minute's feedback after the person speaks. So they will speak for 4 minutes, and then you'll have a minute just to feedback to them. And really, when you feedback, I just want you to acknowledge them. Don't give them solutions. Don't try and solve their problems. Just acknowledge what you heard. Let them know that you heard them really deeply. You're honoring them for what they've shared. You've witnessed what they've shared. So it's really just a reflecting back rather than a solving of anything. So I'm going to let you get started now. Your first person has 4 minutes. All right, everybody. You may not have all had a chance to give final feedback, I think, if you're in the group of four, but we've taken quite a lot of time, so I'm just going to bring it to an end. So thank you all so much for sharing. I was just dropping around to the different groups, and I could hear such beautiful, honest sharing with each other, and I could really hear when you were giving feedback that you had been listening from your heart. You can tell when someone's been listening from their heart by the sorts of things they say in their feedback, and I really could hear that you're all just witnessing each other, feeling each other, and honouring and acknowledging each other. I also heard lots of giggling, which is always a good sign. That was great. What I wanted to do is, since you've just been sharing with each other so beautifully and deeply about your fears and challenges around speaking and the breakthroughs that you're starting to have, and I really encourage those of you who haven't listened to the audio track that I sent yet to listen to it, because it contains two powerful processes in it that build on each other. The first is the Byron Katie process, which is a cognitive process to shift the way you're thinking, to reframe your beliefs, to see where your beliefs come from and to help you to be a little bit less attached to them. And then the second part of the audio is, in fact, the most powerful part of it, because it's not working at a cognitive level, it's energetically shifting those beliefs. And I've done years of Byron Katie work, but it was when I started to add some energetic stuff into those processes, both with myself and with people I've been working with, that I saw really huge shifts. So I know some of you only did the first half of the audio, and that's okay, but I'd really encourage you to finish it if you haven't done it, because that's really where the juice is in that exercise. So what I'd love to do now is just share with you what some people emailed me about what excites them about speaking, because I found it so inspiring. And I think to just read them out one after the other, just snippets of what each person wrote. I won't read the whole thing because we don't have enough time. I'm just going to read a sentence from each person who emailed me so you can really see why you're doing this course, what it is that's available to you, what the possibilities are for speaking, and why it's something that is so beautiful to learn how to do effortlessly. So someone talked about what excites them about speaking is the ability to be able to connect with others, to share her passion for life, to help others to be at peace with themselves. Someone else talked about being able to offer people information and support and unconditional positive regard so that they can make positive changes to their lives. Someone else talked about the thrill of getting out there, walking her talk, sharing her wealth of knowledge and wisdom, and helping countless people with their issues. Someone else talked about wanting to remind people of that truth about ourselves that we all know at our core, the magical truth that is us, the spark that catches us unaware, that throws a light on illusions and focuses the mind on what is real. She wants to remind people who they are. Another woman wrote that her passion is speaking, and that to be able to see the difference in people's faces when she speaks impassions her to want to speak more. Somebody else wrote that they wanted to help individuals transform themselves and make a difference to the life, to their life, so that they in turn can affect others. She also wrote that speaking allows her to have fun and to express who she is, to connect to her passion and what matters to her. to enable other people to awaken and to create change in human consciousness, and also to come from who she truly is, to get beyond her mind. And someone else wrote that when they speak, they feel joy in their whole body when things are flowing. They feel excited about sharing their inner truth, their teachings, inspiring people, enjoying the energy shift of their own and within the listeners. So you can tell from that's just little snippets of what people wrote, but the power and juiciness of what it is that we're learning here, because when you can get to the place where you can access that, where you can speak fearlessly and effortlessly, it's a beautiful, joyful thing, and it's something you can do anywhere. Anywhere, as long as you haven't lost your voice. That's really the only criteria. And even if you've lost your voice, you can still do it with writing. So I just wanted to share that because I found that so inspiring. And what I'm going to do now is unmute everyone in a minute, and just to see, I just want to take one or two shares from people. If there's anyone out there who did practice during the week some of the centering techniques that we practiced last week, the grounding, the tree, the breathing, the dropping into our heart, if anyone remembered to practice that before they spoke on the phone or before they spoke in public, I know Estelle practiced it recently this week. She did a big talk at Toastmasters, so I will call on Estelle. But I also wanted to know if there's anyone else who has something to share. So if there is, just press 1 on your phone, and I'm just going to call on one or two people. So Estelle, excellent. And Katrina. So I'm going to call on Katrina first, and then Estelle, and then we'll move on. So Katrina, I'm giving you a microphone.
Yes. I used a lot of those practices all throughout the week. I can't point to any one time. I just found myself, when I wasn't exhaling, you know, when I found myself not really breathing, just doing that wherever I was. And that dropping into the heart was so grounding, and not just grounding, it had a healing feel to it. And then when I would just let that energy flow down and feel the roots go down into the earth and draw it back up into the sky, it was just very centering wherever I was. And I didn't have to like look obvious or anything. I just was able to do it, and it was really great.
Yeah, wonderful, Katrina. That's great. And I really encourage all of you to just play with those things, even when you're not speaking as Katrina did, because in and of themselves, they really are powerful tools to keep you centered. And we don't just need to be centered when we're speaking. It's helpful to be centered all the time, but particularly when we're speaking. Because that's what we're here to learn about in this course. But as Katrina pointed out, they're really powerful tools. And those of you who didn't remember to practice it this week, don't worry. It's not about being good or bad. It's just, you know, just to jog your memory now when you hear Katrina speak. Mm-hmm. So maybe you'll play with some of those things next week. So I'm going to call on Estelle, who had a big experience this week. Let me just unmute you. There you go, Estelle.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Tani. Yes, I have just joined Toastmasters, and they asked me to give my first speech, so I got to talk about myself, which was fairly very easy. So the day before, I thought, oh, I better get something down. And so I started off with practicing standing and sensing my feet and really grounding. Practicing with my breath, noticing where does my breath catch in the center line of my body, so from the head right down to the feet. So I started to become aware where the energy flowed and where it stopped and then when it flowed again. So that was an interesting observation and getting to know me more in the biology. And the day of the talk, I made sure that I wrote two-worded, it was like a list, and it was all in coloured felt tip pen, so it looked interesting to look at, and I found that way I wasn't getting into my head. They would be just prompters, like I had the word throw, because I actually threw things at the audience, and as I played the audio back later, you could hear me throwing this little softball, and it missed the target, and you can hear me going, oops, never mind. So if there was something that I hadn't planned happened, I just went with that and brought the humour in. As the speaker was introducing me, it took a minute and a half, and so I used that time to centre myself, to calm down, to trust myself. I had an affirmation that I said to myself, which was, all is well in my world. And I really took that time to just slow the breath down. And I did remember to exhale without hyperventilating about 6 times. And then up I got on the stage and so forth. So that's the practice that, and experience.
That's fantastic.
I was on a high for 2 days afterwards.
Beautiful. That's a great example of just gently allowing yourself to practice some of this stuff without putting any pressure on yourself around it. It's great. You weren't trying to get it right. You just said, I'll see what happens when I breathe. I'll just try out a couple of these things. I really want to encourage everyone at some point over this course to try and find an opportunity to speak. It doesn't have to be at Toastmasters. It doesn't have to be in front of a large group. Maybe just in front of a couple of your girlfriends one night when you're hanging out watching TV. Just say, hey, I'm doing this course. Can I just try something with you for 5 minutes? Doesn't have to be a big deal, but just if you can, it would be great, because it will give you a chance to put into practice, like Estelle just did, some of the techniques, and then you'll see that they're not just theory and they really are really powerful. And I just want to really acknowledge Estelle for taking a risk and trying something new, because sometimes when we're doing something nerve-wracking like speaking at Toastmasters, it's very easy to fall back on what we've done before and go, well, oh yeah, that setting stuff sounds good, but I'm too nervous to worry about something new. I'm just going to do my old thing because it's easier. But in actual fact, by taking a risk and trying some of these new techniques, you found a way to speak with so much more ease and so much more trust. And what I also love about that story is what I was talking about earlier about planning, is that there's nothing wrong with planning, but when we plan in a way that ties us down to the material, so that we get attached to the material, it keeps us trapped in our head, because we have to stick to the exact words written down and the exact plan. Whereas if we plan very lightly, so it's just a very general roadmap, so it's like I'm going on holiday, I might go to Italy, and then I might spend a couple of days in France, and then I might go to Spain. But what happens when you're on holiday, you're having such a great time in Italy, you've just met the love of your life, and you found the best pasta restaurant in the whole world, you want to stay there an extra week because it's brilliant. And then, you know, I'll just make a shorter trip to Spain. You know, so you've got a roadmap, and it's the same when you speak. You know you're going to talk about this and this and this, but you're not so attached to the words and the length. You just know you're going to get to those few places in a way that's lighthearted and joyful. And so what I love about what Estelle did is she gave herself a very light roadmap. She just wrote words on the page. Now, that might be too big a stretch for some of you to just write one word, so you might want to write 2 or 3 sentences, but still keep it really light, so you're not fixed and attached to it. And using different coloured pens is fantastic, because it reminds you that it's playful, that you're in your heart, that you're not trapped by these words, that it's not an instruction set for you, it's just a very gentle roadmap. So when I teach a workshop, or for example this morning, I have jotted down a vague plan of what we're going to do, and I've written one sentence for each thing. It's just enough that I can glance at it and go, oh yeah, I was thinking of maybe doing that next. But then I check into myself and I go, is it appropriate to do that now? Does it feel right to do it now? And sometimes I'll look at it and go, no, I'm skipping that. Doesn't feel right. Don't need it. We've covered it. Or not right for this group. They're not at that level, or they've passed that, or they've already know that, or, you know, and you just skip it because you're tuned into the present moment. You're not attached to your plan. It's just there as a map, as a very general map. So I just really want to acknowledge Estelle for doing that and trying that out. A really different way of speaking, it's so liberating. So thank you so much, Estelle, for sharing that. Okay, everybody. So we're going to bring that exercise to a close. And what I'm going to do is just ask for feedback on that process, and particularly from the group of four, because you guys haven't had a chance yet to discuss that with each other, whereas the others have had a few minutes to do that. So is there anyone from that group of four, Jeanette, Cherie, Leanne, Alice, who just wants to share with everyone anything you learned from that or anything that was interesting about just speaking with a little bit of trust for a minute, just after having formed an intention without even knowing your topic? If there is, just press 1 on your phone and I'll give you a minute to speak.